often as I watch basketball on TV or in person, I am reminded of the great basketball player turned philosopher Dikembe Mutombo, who said, quote, "Get that weak shit out of my house." I am Ethan Chadwick, and this is the Woke Report.
Shut up and sit down.
In a world where fake news has been attacked and debunked, two men bravely walk into the deep end.
Oh, it's cold.
Something touched my foot.
Oh, stop splashing me. Oh.
This is the Woke Report. Everything on this program is purely satire. Adult language may be used. Viewer discretion is advised. Welcome into the Woke Report. I am your host, Ethan Chadwick, and with me, as always, is the great Evan Hall. Our top story today comes to us via the internet. A new trend is sweeping the nation. This trend is called the Outlet Challenge, and it is for poison ivy awareness. How you do the Outlet Challenge is reported as being you stick a fork in a power outlet in your house while simultaneously doing a Facebook Live video of the event. And you also are encouraged to donate money to whatispoisonivy.org. And those donations can be in either increments of $21 or $5,002. And reports have been a bit surprising in that there have been a lot higher number of $5,002 donations was expected.
It really is making a difference in the world.
It absolutely is. And in fact, our very own producer, Patrick, tried this just this week. We will be having his funeral service tomorrow. And his family has asked that in lieu of sending flowers, that you donate money to this cause. And right now, we're actually going to go and interview a man who also did this challenge, but kind of took it a step further, and that he also did another challenge that was to promote poison oak awareness. And his name is Brad, and he's going to tell us a little bit about his experience as he did simultaneously the outlet challenge and the dry ice challenge. He joins us now. How are you doing, Brad?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
And so I want you to take me through, how exactly did you do both challenges at once?
Well, that required weeks of meticulous planning. Actually, I just went to local grocery store and got some dry ice, and it pushed my body to the limit. But I burn and hurt all over, but it's for a good cause.
So on this dry ice challenge, what exactly do you do with the dry ice?
Well, essentially, what you have to do is, with as little clothing as possible, lie down on a bed of dry ice.
Oh, wow. And you were able to do that while also doing the outlet challenge. Part of the outlet challenge is filming it on Facebook. And we would show you the video, but of course this is a radio program, so we are not able to do that. But tell us kind of a little bit about what that experience was like.
Well, it was easy once I was able to build the bed of dry ice next to the outlet, which was very convenient. I always carry forks with me wherever I go, so that was taken care of. And my new iPhone was able to put it up onto the internet. It was the most painful experience of my life, not gonna lie. Dry ice burns, and quite shocking. I was able to talk about the dry ice challenge for a little bit till I started, locking up and they had to call in the paramedics. But the point is, we're making a difference in the world, and so I feel good about it.
And so I'm making sure that I understand this correctly. The purpose of the outlet challenge is to raise awareness for poison ivy.
Yes.
And for the dry ice challenge was for poison oak.
It is.
And how do you find yourself at the center of these two, problems?
Well, I have suffered from both afflictions at the same time. I did the 2011's Rolling Down a Wooded Hill Challenge, and that's when I was told by the doctor that I was suffering from both poison ivy and poison oak. Although that I will say also that is the last time I take a dump in the woods.
Very, very inspiring. Want to thank you for your time, Brad, and hopefully those burns go down. Yeah, it does not look good.
No, it does not.
And inviting all those volts into your body probably wasn't a great idea. But we want to thank you for coming in and joining us. And, you know, have a good one.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And so, I mean, Evan, I guess you kind of silent during this part of the interview. What did you think of this story?
Well, it really is amazing how the millennial generation really is trying to make a difference in the world using social media. It's combining entertainment, new technology, and philanthropic causes. So it's quite surprising how all this is coming together.
No, absolutely. And it's really quite inspiring to myself.
Yes.
I didn't really think of poison ivy or poison oak, for that matter, as being a major problem. But, you know, millennials, they're very aware.
Well, and
they're
that,
very aware of kind of these problems that face our country and of the world as a whole.
And as someone whose family members have been afflicted by both diseases in the past, I can definitely say it really puts things in perspective when the doctor walks in with that diagnosis. So our hearts go out to all those who are suffering from both poison ivy and poison oak.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to turn now to an interview with Wiggles the Clown, and he has asked to come on and kind of tell us how he's going to make 2017 bigger and better, and that's a quote, bigger and better, than 2016 for clowns. As many people know, there was a bit of an epidemic towards the end of October of clowns kind of, you know, being very involved in the news. And we want to just ask you, Wiggles, first of all, what was that experience like?
It's all about getting into the community and really being a presence. It's all about spreading joy and, reminding people that clowns are everywhere.
Yeah, well, the thing about it, though, is during this kind of epidemic of clown news stories, they were almost all clowns attacking people. What do you have to say about that?
I think it's a really disgusting stereotype about clowns. Actually, you know, it was about attacking people. It's about sending a message that you don't mess with the circus and you don't mess with clowns. We're back and better than ever, baby.
Okay, so who was messing with clowns before that? Because, I mean, from what I saw and from what I heard, the clowns initiated stuff, and then it eventually turned that everyone else started beating the crap out of these clowns. So how exactly, I guess, did you guys feel disrespected or attacked? Kind of take me through that.
We're not here to sell fast food. We're not here to be, well, I guess we're kind of here to be the butt of jokes. But the point is that we are performers and artists, and we're expanding imaginations, and we've had enough of the disrespect from society and everybody in it.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't completely understand the disrespect. I mean, I think mostly people just kind of fear clowns because you guys honestly look really creepy. But I guess moving on from that, you said that 2017 is going to be bigger and better. You told us that before you came on during our, pre-production. So I want you to kind of let us know how 2017 is going to be bigger and better than 2016 for clowns.
Pyrotechnics. And balloons. And maybe some unicycles in there too. The point is, it's all about showmanship.
Could you go a little bit deeper into that? I mean, that it's really general and frankly kind of frightening.
We're also probably going to go in bigger groups instead of just one isolated clown. Maybe a whole parade of clowns.
I mean, that That does sound like it'd be more safe for you guys, but at the same time, you might open yourselves up to other problems. But again, can you tell us more about these pyrotechnics and other things that you were talking about?
It's amazing what you can do when you know that the world is your stage, and a group of teenagers who are going up to make out point are your audience.
All right, well, that is quite disturbing, but we want to thank Wiggles for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
And, we're going to move on, and we wish you the best. Maybe don't be foolish with what you're doing so that you don't get shot. But moving on, our next story comes from Florida Man, who apparently won a foosball match in the back of a pickup while they were driving on the freeway. So,
wow.
Props to him.
That takes some skills.
Yeah. And word is that he and, you know, his cohort have both been arrested. That's, of course, how we got the story.
He's a true artist, though.
But right now, we're going to go to By the Numbers with Evan.
Welcome to By the Numbers, BTN. I'm your host, Evan Hall. We're going to bring you some statistics to blow your mind and revolutionize your life. Today, we're going to be talking about space, time, and money. So, space exploration. It's all the rage, apparently. And one of the big things is finding a new place to live when Earth collapses. Part of our options here are moons. Scientists think that there are at least 146 moons in our solar system alone, given that there's at least maybe 15 countries total on the entire planet. That leaves us with 9.7333 moons per country, which means we have plenty of room to colonize space. But we call Titan. You bitches can have the unlivable planets. And moons. Anywho, moving on. 2017, it's a new year, it's a new chance to think about the concept of time. If you add up all the numbers in 2017, 2017, it equals 10. The last time this happened was 1900, 117 years ago. But an interesting thing about this trend is that before 1900, the last time it happened was in 1801, which was 99 years before 1900. And before that, 1702, 99 years before 1801. Do you see the trend I'm getting at? It's taking us longer and longer as the centuries progress to get to a year that adds up to the number 10. We are losing our grasp of history and time. Anywho, the last number I wanted to talk about was wealth. It's estimated that 20% of the world owns the vast majority, perhaps 80% of the world's wealth. So to highlight this and illustrate this concept, I've made on this page here we're going to look at it like a pizza. Here, we have a big pizza that our good friend Tommy over at the local pizza joint brought over. If you look at wealth, and you say, let's pretend that 20% of the world's population owns 80% of the wealth. It's like one fifth of this pizza having 80% of the olives. And with a figure like that on our make-believe pizza, you gotta wonder what the hell is Tommy doing at the pizza shop. It's not like when Stacy's working there because she can evenly distribute the olives because she's not a dumbass. Plus, she's fine as hell and her mom, in fact, does have it going on. But the point being, if we're looking at our imaginary pizza, and we're thinking about wealth in this sort of metaphorical way like a pizza, you got to think, this is a really garbage pizza. Who the hell puts all 80% of a topping in, like, what, one-fifth of the pizza? I'm not paying for this, Tommy. I'm not. Because this is horseshit. This has been By the Numbers. I'm Evan Hall.
All right, thank you, Evan, for that. We go now to New York City, where there has been a disturbance reported in Central Park. We're going to go to our most senior field reporter, Herbert, who's on the scene.
Yes, I'm here on the scene, and I found out that it's just Mickey and Craig, and I just wanted to let you know about that. Here is some audio.
I just don't understand why you can't point a damn mic.
That's because it's simple. Are you gay?
It's simple.
Are you gay?
It's simple. We're trying to get the birds.
The birds have been gone for a week and a half.
I know, and we miss them because you can't get your damn act together.
You haven't gotten out of that tree. It's been like 3 weeks.
Well, it's about getting the story, and no, sometimes it's not you have to sacrifice for
you
it.
You are a lunatic.
You're an asshole.
Oh, that might be true, but so are you.
Well, that's not even... I don't even know what that's, you're going
you don't know
with
anything.
Here.
It's because you're a dumbass.
What's that supposed to mean?
Because it means that you're a dumbass. How do you not get that?
Oh, really?
Do you not get that because you are a dumbass? Is that why you don't get it?
You're the most unprofessional bastard I've
ever
heard.
Oh, I'm the most unprofessional. I'm not the one that climbs up in trees and tries to talk to birds.
What's that supposed to mean?
You can't talk to birds.
Yes, you can.
No.
It's like a bird whispering.
You seriously need to get checked into a mental hospital.
I'm an award-winning journalist.
No, you're not.
Jackass.
What award?
It's
what award? Again, we're back to the award thing. What award did you earn?
It was the Topeka, Kansas Journalist Story of the Year
You've
Award.
You've never lived in Topeka, Kansas.
But I got the award.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
That award doesn't even exist.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, yeah?
Look, I'm looking up on my phone right now.
Well, that's ridiculous.
There's nothing.
You can't.
I just Googled it. There's absolutely nothing on this alleged award you just said you won.
You can't trust anything on the internet.
You don't even have a Wikipedia page.
Yeah, because you can't trust the internet.
You can't trust the internet.
Yeah, it's true.
How do you think people listen to us, dumbass?
They listen on the tunes, the thing that goes in your ear. The box with the string.
Wow.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means you're a dumbass. That's what it means.
Oh, well, you know, I'm getting real tired of your shit. Really.
Oh, you're tired of my shit.
Yes, I am.
You're tired of my shit.
See, there's two kinds
what
of...
What about yours?
There's two kinds of people in this world. People who climb trees to get the story and dumbasses who don't know how to run a mic.
I would much rather be a dumbass who doesn't know how to run a mic than a dumbass who climbs a tree and tries to talk to birds.
Well, you know what? The next passerby who I convinced to put the ladder back up in the tree, I'm going to climb down and kick your ass.
Why don't you just jump down? It's literally 5 feet.
Because I don't want to hurt my feet until I have to kick your ass.
Hurt your feet? Have you never jumped out of a tree?
Have you never jumped out of a tree? I did.
Wow. Real mature.
What's that supposed to mean?
Real mature. And how was that?
It felt good, actually.
That's what she said.
That is kind of funny. But the point being is that we're going to have a serious going at it once I get down from here.
That sounds very gay.
Well, you're stupid.
Nice comeback. Did you come up with it yourself?
Where
did
you get that comeback? The toilet store?
I don't even know how to respond to that because it was so bad.
I know you are, but what am I?
What are we, in second grade now?
What's that supposed to mean?
It means you're a dumbass and your comebacks are terrible. Terrible.
And this has been some audio from the disturbance in Central Park. And I'm surprised that those guys still have a job here. All right, well, thank you.
We will keep our audience posted as that story develops. Well, it could have only been one of two things, either the return of Jesus or a bacon tree. And I haven't seen Jesus yet. Our next story, we go to Alabama, where millions are flocking to see an alleged bacon tree. Such a development is rocking the world and could potentially change the way we see bacon. Well, we're talking to someone live on the scene. His name is Chad, and he joins us live thanks to the internet. Chad, what is the scene down there by this alleged bacon tree?
Well, shit, thanks for having me on. I'm so excited about national championship. It's coming up on Monday. It's going to be a great experience. We're going to win our second in a row. It's going to be Coach Saban's sixth. We're just unstoppable. The tide is, in fact, rolling. And we're going to beat Clemson once again because our team is the best team in the country. And I would even put them up against a lot of NFL teams and pick them in that kind of a situation.
How many people do you think have flocked to your Alabama town to try and witness this bacon tree?
Well, you know us down here in Alabama. We love that tide. We love how it rolls. I mean, Derrick Henry last year won the Heisman, was a great athlete. Coming in this year, we got a new guy, new quarterback. You may have heard of him. His name, of course, is Jalen Hurts, who honestly got kind of, screwed when it comes to the Heisman voting. He should have won it, no doubt. He was the best player on the best team, even though, well, you know, obviously our defense is a lot better than our offense, and at times our offense just kind of disappears. But still, I still believe that he should have won the Heisman Trophy. And you can't tell me that I'm not right, because I am, in fact, here on the scene. And, you know, we get 100,000 people in Alabama every single week on game day. And Roll Tide and screw the War Eagles.
Now, obviously, this bacon tree probably in high demand. Probably a very big money-making enterprise. Do we know who owns the legal rights to such a bacon tree?
Well, you know, as I said, Jalen Hurts, he's going to lead us to victory on that national championship game. You know, last year Clemson came and tried to go up against us, and they came up short. It's going to happen again this year. Our defense is just going to shut them down, and Jalen Hurts is probably going to run for 300 yards and throw for 300. It's going to be the biggest performance ever, because you know he's pissed about not getting the Heisman Trophy.
Now, one final question for you. For those who are interested in maybe perhaps growing their own bacon tree, is there a place that they can find information, perhaps bacon seeds?
You know, honestly, all this talk just makes me think about how great of a coach Nick Saban is. And, you know, Lane Kiffin, I thought he did an okay job as offensive coordinator, but honestly, I'm kind of glad that he's leaving and going to Florida Atlantic. I mean, but the good thing about it is Nick Saban's not going to leave us, not anytime soon. Now, we definitely benefited. I absolutely hated Nick Saban when he was over there coaching for the LSU Tigers. And now he's over here coaching for us and winning us national championships. And so I don't know. I mean, I was talking to my friend, and he said that the agent for Nick Saban also happens to own his own house. And as I look forward to the future, I'm really hoping that we can get a professional football team here in Alabama, because obviously we have the best fans in the country.
Well, thank you again, Chad. Best of luck, and enjoy that bacon tree.
Roll Tide. Thanks for having me. Roll Tide.
All right. Well, that was a fun interview. Get to learn a lot about the college football playoff national championship, but not a whole lot about the bacon tree, which was what we were hoping for. But moving on, our next story involves a new controversial toy that has many parents outraged, and this toy is called Grope Me Elmo. And it's been met with a lot of controversy, a lot of, you know, upset parents. In fact, I mean, we had one local man who said, quote, "It's a little inappropriate." But on the other hand of things, we also had the local whore, Sheila, who volunteered to give her perspective on the issue.
And Sheila joins us now. Sheila, what's your response to those who say that this toy is perhaps maybe inappropriate in some regards for children?
Well, I don't personally have a problem with it. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Elmo can grow up me all day, if you know what I mean. But I do have a nice quarter for you, so you can buy yourself a nice soda.
Okay. And if you had children, would this be something that you would put under the tree for Christmas if they asked for it?
Well, I mean, Christmas isn't for another 11 and a half months, but I don't personally have a problem with it. I mean, if I was a little girl, I would definitely want to have a Grope Me Elmo to kind of to help me out, you know what I mean?
Are we getting a little out of hand with the kind of toys we put out on the market for today's children?
Well, I mean, I personally don't have any idea. I mean, I don't care about children's toys. I just kind of care about this one because it really touches close to home for me.
In what way?
Well, in that, you know, as you mentioned, I am a whore, and so I like being groped, so yeah, I mean, it touches close to home for me, so I don't care about other kids' toys. I mean, kids will be kids, and if you give them a paintball gun and tell them to go crazy, I mean, who really cares?
Do you believe that this toy will be able to touch close to home to many of our nation's children?
Oh, absolutely, and I hope it does, because I think it's a revolutionary idea. But Sorry, I'm a bit of a smoker. I hope you don't mind if I puff up right now while I'm talking to you. But what was your question?
Do you think that this toy will be able to touch close to home to all of our nation's children?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for speaking with us, Sheila. Best of luck.
Yeah, and yeah, best of luck, of course. We actually are joined now in studio by our good friends, our science friends, Forks, Malone, and Spoons McGee. And they're here to tell us about some new things that they're working on for State University, was it?
Yeah, it was University College, I believe.
Oh, my apologies. That's my mistake. But, yeah, so how are you guys doing today? What have you got for us?
Thank you for having us back again. We're just very excited to unveil our new research into what something that we believe could revolutionize agriculture as we know it. Basically, the experiment was to plant pumpkin seeds in a soil that is mostly comprised of pop rocks.
Yeah, and it was like the best thing ever, and I can't believe that people haven't tried this already. Oh, it makes me so mad that people couldn't figure this out before us, because this could revolutionize how we grow things. I mean, who knows what kind of mystical powers that we're going to get from it.
Now, Spoons, did you happen... what were some of your observations? Did you happen to see that that the pumpkins were affected in any way after planting seeds in this soil?
Yes, we noted that there were a number of interesting traits exhibited. The size of the pumpkins went completely through the roof. I mean, these are giant pumpkins, so we think it could have good potential to end world hunger. There were some mishaps when we tried this experiment with radishes. The radishes did come to life, and, you know, it basically looked like the end of a very violent video game or a Quentin Tarantino movie. But the point being is that the pumpkins seemed to really respond well to a soil of pop rocks.
And I just got to jump in here and ask, how exactly are you guys paying for this? Is it part of your university budget, or did you guys get a grant, or what?
Part of it is university funding. As tenured professors, we have access to these kind of funds. Another thing, we got a grant from the internet. Basically, it's a GoFundMe page, but we consider it a grant. It is a grant from the people to experiment with pumpkin seeds.
And that's the most important thing. I can't believe that you can't accept that we have funding from people who actually want to see this kind of thing done. I can't believe that you would be so bigoted and hate-filled that you would think that we can't get money to support these kind of scientific endeavors.
Are you telling me that these things actually did grow in pop rocks? Was it purely pop rocks, or pop rocks mixed in with soil?
Purely pop rocks.
Why would we say that we're growing food in pop rocks soil and you think that it's in actual soil? What is wrong with you? Are you not just not understand science?
But my understanding, I mean, every time that you get pop rocks wet, they kind of crackle and pop and kind of dissolve. So how exactly did this work?
Science.
Dr. Spoons McGee, if I may jump in here, why pumpkin seeds and pop rocks?
Well, I was at home one weekend eating away my sorrow after another breakup, and I had a bag of pumpkin seeds and a bag of pop rocks. And so I was stuffing my face watching a rom-com, and I thought, hey, this could be an experiment. But the point being is that now we get to showcase our results on pumpkinseedsinpoprocks.org.
So, okay, yeah. Well, I mean, before we let you guys go, once again, I just feel the need to ask, Are Forks and Spoons your actual first names, or are they nicknames?
Why do you hate science? I just don't get this.
So much. I can't believe you. I'm so mad. I'm leaving right now.
We are scientists, and Forks is out the door. He is pissed. That is a tenured professor, and I'm getting tired of being insulted by this. We are real scientists with real results. Time and again.
All right. Well, I mean, maybe this will eventually be cleared up, but apparently not today. We want to thank you guys for joining us. That is all the time that we have today for the Woke Report, and we want to thank you guys for tuning in. You can contribute stories to us via Twitter at Woke Report, and you can email us wokereport@gmail.com. I want to thank you guys for tuning in, and have a good one.